Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups as part of Rob Has a Podcast. I am your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about everything from Canada's Drag Race, Episode 7. Of course, I am not alone. I have a fantastic panel for you today. First, I'd like to welcome in a man who's with us week after week, Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
I'm good. Glad to be back. Canada's Drag Race continues to give it to us, so I'm continuing to receive it.
Yes, we're getting a lot of interpersonal drama and stuff now, like bubbling all up to the surface as we get closer to the end. I think we have a lot to talk about today.
I'm loving it. They're actually like talking through their feelings. Like, oh my God, how Canadian of them.
I know, right? A little less passive aggressive and more just straight up aggressive. but we have a lovely guest here for you today. We have a drag queen in her own right. We have Miss Espy Azalea Simone is here with us today, which she is in full drag. Another reason to check out our video podcast on the YouTube channel for Rob Has a Podcast. Espy, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello. I'm so thankful to be able to share my thoughts with someone who actually cares. Because I try to talk to my friends about it and they all look at me like I'm crazy. So this is going to be good to actually talk with someone who'll listen.
Much like the queens in the episode got their feelings out, let us have it.
I want to hear your feelings.
Okay, perfect. So those of you who may not know SB, we found SB through the Class of 2020 search. So maybe you can give us a little bit about you, history with drag, and history with the show.
So I started drag in 2016. So I'm approximately 4 years old, about so. I've taken a couple breaks, so if you add up all the time that I've done drag, it's a little bit less than 4 years, but for records, we'll say 4 years. I'm from Louisiana. I'm originally from Baton Rouge, but I moved to Los Angeles, I want to think 3 years ago, and I've been doing drag here since. I'm the current reigning Louisiana's Ultimate Entertainer of 2019. I don't think there's going to be a 2020 because of, you know, Corona. So I'll take my 2 years of reigning.
Yes.
I'll be very happy to continue saying I'm the current reigning. And I applied for the Class of 2020 because I have watched the podcast and I love the commentary that's given. And I was like, you know, you're a drag queen. Your friends don't listen to you when you talk about Drag Race. Maybe they'll listen. Go ahead and apply. So I was like, you know what? Let's do it. And then it worked out.
Well, we're very thankful that you applied because, you know, we do our best with our commentary, but you've got an insight that none of us can bring. So I'm very curious to get into your brain and figure out all of the thoughts that you're thinking. Okay, well, let's just jump right in to this episode. So first of all, this was a pretty interesting challenge, the pageant challenge, because Aman, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before on Drag Race.
Yeah, it was like a bit of like improv with like a bit of glamour, with a bit of comedy, like it sort of had everything going on with it. I don't think we've ever seen this before. And I didn't know what to expect, but I think I enjoyed this a lot. Like I felt like it was like a nice way for them to showcase a lot of their abilities in this challenge. So I was here for it. I enjoyed this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Espy, I think this was interesting because originally I was like, oh, it's a pageant. And then it turns out it was like, oh, but you have a character and you actually have to do a character during the whole pageant.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what threw me off because when I heard pageant, I was like, wait, these girls are about to give. But then I heard the character portion. I was like, okay, this is clearly a very improv heavy season. So I just was like, okay, this is another improv moment. Maybe this can be a redemption arc, for some of the girls who have done bad in the past with improv, or maybe this could be just like the point that pushes those girls that have shined forward. But I think it was definitely a good twist to what I'm pretty sure a lot of people were expecting, like a straightforward pageant, to where it was like, oh, you think it's a regular pageant, but we got something for you.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely fell under that category. I thought it was just going to be a regular pageant. I was like, wait, what characters? Like, I thought, I don't know. It's just going to be a pageant, but more silly or stupid with the things that they were going to have to do. So, you know, it's the swimsuit challenge or the swimsuit, but, you know, you have to do something else extra with it instead of this, which it is a very improv heavy season because Aman, I think this is what our like third improv challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the producers over in Canada, just they dig improv. They dig the comedy. This would be a season that my ass would be gone like we won because, as we know, I mean, I've lamented several times on this show. It's just not my shtick. But yeah, I'm not really sure what that's about. But I mean, OK, sure. I mean, you know, it's season one. It's the inaugural season. They're trying to like figure out what their groove is. So, I mean, I guess it's part of the growing pains of everything.
Yeah, Espy, as a drag queen, what are the challenges that you would either be most excited about doing or least excited about doing?
Okay, so I am naturally a very funny person, but when you tell me to be funny on the spot, that's when I'm like,
yep.
What do you mean be funny?
Yep.
I'm always funny. I don't know how to be funny. So now you tell me to be funny and I'm thinking to myself, okay, was that funny? So I would be horrible at the like, improv challenges or any type of challenge where you would have to make people laugh, which is weird because I went to school for theater. I am trained in improv, but when it comes to making people laugh, I'm just like, oh yeah, no, I just overthink it. I think the one challenge that if I ever audition for Drag Race, I've never auditioned before, but if I were to ever audition and get on, it's a mini challenge. And that is reading is fundamental because if it's one thing I know how to do, I know how to shade people and I know how to read people. So that's something that I would do very well on. I'm not a horrible dancer, so I can do pretty good on the dance challenges. But once they tell me to be funny, that's when probably I'll be like, okay, I'm going home this week. It's time for me to go.
Yeah, well, and we see this, you know, same girl struggle, right? Like, clearly you either kind of have this feeling for the improv or you don't. And so we just sort of get a repeat of some of the results that we've seen before. You know, we see Alona in the bottom. We see Priyanka in the bottom again, you know, and she was in the bottom for an improv challenge. So I think that that's one thing when you get so many kind of repetitive challenges that you get the same results over
it's
and over.
Damn, do they want these girls to go home? It's like, oh, well, we didn't get rid of her ass last week, so let's do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do we need to teach her a lesson or something like that? Like, I have no idea what they're trying to do. But actually, speaking of mini challenges, there was no mini challenge this week, which I was a little disappointed in. I'm not gonna lie.
I think
we got
that
straight into the drama this time around.
Yeah,
they did, true. Which is why I was okay with them skipping the mini challenge. You know, mini challenges are nice, but I feel like if the episode or if they feel like this day is going to be really juicy with content, then they can be like, okay, no mini challenge. We'll stuff as much of this drama into this episode as possible. And I think they gave us a lot of drama, and I appreciate the backstory over the mini challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the drama before we get into to the maxi challenge here and go through each of the queens, because essentially I was trying to write down everybody that had drama in even just right after the elimination. Before we even get into anything from the episode, it was like Alona has drama with people. Lemon, of course, there's the leftover drama from last week. And then Scarlett Bobo this week, seemingly out of nowhere, although she did have that issue with Boa before, so maybe I shouldn't be surprised, was just not having it this episode, Aman.
She was not. I mean, she's like back with a vengeance this time around, and I'm enjoying the fire. I'm enjoying the passion that a lot of these queens are having. We only got like what? Like, this is episode 7. We're supposed to allegedly get in 10 episodes. So give it all to me. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see this passion because we're getting down to the wire, supposedly. How many queens do we have left now?
We're down to the top 5. So,
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, it's about time. I mean, I know we're in Canada. I know it's a little chilly up there. I know everybody's a little bit more kind up there, but I want to see the character beneath under all of their characters. You know what I'm saying? So Scarlett was giving it to us this time around. I'm glad to say.
Yeah, SB, what did you think about all of this? Anything stand out to you?
I think with Scarlett, her frustration is at the judges and not particularly towards the other girls. It's just coming out on the other girls because that's who she's around all the time. I think Scarlett is a very strong competitor who's kind of being pushed into that underdog role of, oh, you do well, but not good enough to win. Even though I think she's done well enough to win a couple challenges. And I think that her losing every single time, well, not even losing, she's safe. But mm-hmm. being safe is just getting to her. So now she's like, well, people around me are getting critiques. They're getting good critiques. They're placing high. And I'm just in the middle. So then her anger just kind of redirects itself from not winning to, oh, well, if anybody looks at me wrong, I got a problem with you right now. So I think it's definitely redirected anger. But I understand it because I'm the same way.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we're seeing that a lot more now, like within these seasons for these queens, like being safe is annoying now. Like no one is ever satisfied. Like if you don't win, it's a loss. That's how I feel like the culture has like shifted on this show. Because I mean, we see so many of these queens that do end up safe so many of the time. And then when they get to the end, they lose. So it's like, I need to have these wins under my belt. Like, I don't give a damn if I'm not like, I'd rather be in the bottom than be safe because I'm sitting over here like with like no airtime. Like, I'm sitting over here, like, the judges don't have anything to say about me. Like, what's the point of me being on the show? So, I mean, I get it. I mean, we just watched Jan go through it for season 12. So, I feel like if you're safe, queens are going to start, like, being more vocal about that as the seasons go on. Because they're like, no. I'm not trying to be a Jan. I'm trying to be on the top at all times. Yeah, I need to be Gigi.
It's interesting you say that because I also, too, share the sentiment of I would rather be on the bottom than safe. Because when you're safe, they're just like, okay, get your mm-hmm. stuff, you're going to the back, and you're just going to sit there. Whereas if you're in the bottom, granted, you're probably going to have a chance of going home, but it gives me a moment to perform, mm-hmm. to show you, this is what I do. I'm a wonderful performer. You're going to see me, and you're going to know why you picked me. Mm-hmm. But when you're safe, you don't even have a chance to defend yourself. You're just like, okay, you were decent, bye. You can go to the back.
Yep.
That, and you can never get the critiques to show that you can improve, right? Like if Lemon hadn't been in the bottom to get the critique about the hip pads, which she brought hip pads, but like didn't wear them till week 7. Like what? But you can show that, oh, look, I'm trying. I'm taking in your criticisms. I'm taking in your critiques. I'm demonstrating that I can do better, which shows growth. Because that is another thing that I think the judges are looking for is someone who has improved, whether or not that's valid as a critique. But they definitely mm-hmm. look for that as well. And I love, Amon, that you brought up the comparison to Jan, because I was feeling the Jantasy during this episode because she didn't get the character that she wanted, Scarlett Bobo. She thought that she was going to be in the top, didn't end up being in the top. I mean, it came down to between her and Lemon, it seemed, based on the judging. But unfortunately for Scarlett, just another week safe, which is tough for her.
Yeah.
All right. The other quote that I have to bring up that happened amidst all the drama was when Alona said, "This is food in the library." This was like at the beginning when they were like arguing. I have no idea what this means because Scarlett was like yelling about something. And then Alona was like, "This is food in the library." Like, does that mean that the librarian is going to yell at them because they have food in the library? Is that like the anger that she was going for?
Yeah, I didn't get it either. And I was hoping one of you guys did.
I am very well versed in gay culture, gay slang, drag slang, and I have never heard that. So I have no idea what she was referring to. That was kind of a moment where I was like, okay, yes, it sounds good if I knew what it meant.
Yeah, well, that was exactly the thing. It's like it made, let me see, I pulled a still from this because I was just like fascinated by this whole thing. Like, this is food in the library. What does that mean? What does it mean?
Forbidden? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. Anyway, I was fascinated by this. So I was hoping that one of you would know, but I think we'll just have to chalk it up to like Alona being Alona.
I do think I'm going to say that now. I just don't know what it means. I'm just going to shout it out randomly when someone says something. I'm like, this is food in the library.
Yeah, right. Someone's like coming out, be like, bitch, this is food in the library.
Very much so that. And they'll be like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what I'm talking about, but it distracted you, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's disarming. Okay, well, let's talk about the Maxi Challenge. So is there anything from before the Maxi Challenge that we want to talk about? Otherwise, we can go through queen by queen. I did think that Brooke doing the walkthrough was highlighted why Brooke is there, which is, oh, she's been through this before. You know, mm-hmm. like Espy, she can say, I know what that's like. I've, you know, because she's been through this experience.
I do think that it is kind of different than having RuPaul walk through, because RuPaul is the judge, has always been the judge. And it's kind of like, okay, the judge knows what they want to see, but they don't know what it's like to go through that process. And just like you said, Brooke has been through it before. So Brooke can walk through and let you know, like, yes, not only this is what I want to see, but I understand what you're going through because I went through the same thing. So mm-hmm. it's like double reinforcement for you as opposed to just hearing that judging side. And I think that's really good for everyone remaining, and it can be very beneficial, especially if they have upcoming seasons, if they have more people there. It'll be nice to see how that continues to influence the girls in decisions that they make before they go on to the maxi challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's dig into each one of these queens. So Rita got to assign the roles, and she gave herself mismatched, which this was supposed to be the like love struck contestant, because I do feel like some of the queens took a little bit of a different interpretation of what the character may have been on paper, Amon, because I didn't quite get that she was like love struck. Like, she just kept saying hashtag blessed.
Yeah, like I wanted her to be like the love struck, hopeless romantic type where she can mm-hmm. never have a lover go her way. And that didn't really come across during her performance. But I mean, I'm not exactly sure what she was thinking when she gave it to herself, because she got to choose. You know what I mean? She had her pick of the litter, and she was like, oh, I'm taking a mismatch. I know exactly what I'm going to do for that. And then it didn't really translate that well for me. So, I mean, it wasn't bad, but I definitely didn't get what I thought I was going to get. That's for sure.
I think about mismatch, and I saw a golden opportunity, especially as that love struck character, to kind of play off of Jeffrey, the host of it. Because I feel like Jeffrey is also pretty good at improv, and it could have very much so been a moment of, I'm just in love with you. This is my idea of love. I'm in love with you, and there is nothing you can do to change that. And I feel like that could have really helped. And another thing, I pay attention to detail. I would have really enjoyed everything being mismatched, like literally down to two different earrings. Like, oh, it's not really part of the character, but my name is mismatched. So I'm just going to wear two different earrings. I'm going to just make everything not match. And I think mm-hmm. that would have just added a extra little layer on top of the thin layer she had, because I don't think she had too much of a layer there. But there were so many opportunities for her to take that she didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree, because it just felt like I didn't even get the sense that she was desperate or anything like that for love, because I was expecting something more along the lines of The Bitchler, which was the improv challenge, I believe, from All Stars 3, where they're like thirsting after Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, who was the bachelor in that situation. And that I really didn't get what Rita was going for. And to your point, Amon, about the fact that she actively chose this role and then still didn't have what at least appeared to me was a fully flesh out vision of what this was supposed to be. And then, I love the mismatch, like literally mismatched idea. That would have been something so cool. I mean, she, I think, ends up in the declared safe category probably because of her runway, but this was not, it was not it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to our next queen. And this is Priyanka, who decides to do, she was supposed to be like the chip on her shoulder. Her character's name was Misdemeanor, but instead she went for like an angry pregnant contestant. Like, Espy, what was this?
I saw it as kind of a moment where someone thought of a prop. Mm. And then just attached themselves to that prop completely and thought that that entire prop was their storyline. And it seemed like once she decided, okay, I'm going to be pregnant, everything rolled around the pussy, but in a good way. She relied heavily on that, I'm pregnant. Forgot to.
So, SB, you're having some connectivity issues. So you're sounding a little robotic here. So maybe you can check your internet connection and let me go to Amon. What did you think about? Do you think that, this was like, she had a prop as the pregnant idea and then just sort of figured out anything she could to go around that?
Yeah, no, I agree with Espy. I feel like she sort of like focused a lot on that. I feel like it would have been a lot funnier if, because I mean, her name is Misdemeanor, right? So she's supposed to be the bad person, the bad girl, the rebel, you know, always getting in trouble. I thought it would have been a little bit more funny if she were pregnant, but it was like the last thing on her mind. So if she were up there like drinking, or if she was up there smoking, or just like having general just lack of regard for the human life that is allegedly growing inside her, I feel like that would have been the way to go. But it seemed like it was just like, oh my God, like, I'm going to give birth on stage. Just wait for me to do it. It's coming. It's coming. And then it comes. And then it's like, then you're just carrying around a towel on stage. And like the gag is over now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, I mean, I understood what she was going for. I just felt like it was just a little bit too focused on the pregnancy of it all.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, some of the critiques were that it was so one note. And SB, I think that that was absolutely the case. It felt very one note.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, you sound mm-hmm. great.
Okay, yeah, I think especially what you just said, Amon, was a thing that could have happened. And it was so anticlimactic when she gave birth. And then it was literally just a bundled up sweater. I was like, okay, I feel like if you're going to give birth and this was like the centerpiece of your character, you could have pulled out a like baby doll. You might not have had one. But at that case, once you realize, oh, I don't have a baby doll, you could have just scrapped the whole birth. So I think that the entire idea of just neglect, it's horrible to say neglecting the child would be funny. But in this moment, with the circumstances that she was in, I think it would have carried her much further than it carried her that round.
Yeah. And I also didn't get the sense, I feel like Alona was more the angry one, whereas with Priyanka, she was like kind of trying to be angry, but also is very like slumped over. If you're watching the video version of the podcast, we've pulled up images of each of the queens and she's sort of slumped over, which I don't really get as part of the character. Like, it just didn't feel very fleshed out that she had this vision of, oh, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Because apart from, like the baby thing, that's really all this was.
I mean, and then like just like a little side note, there was no like paying homage to Missy Elliott. I mean, like that's one of her monikers, like no Missy Elliott references in there. Like, come on now, like misdemeanor, come on.
Yeah. Give me something. I don't know. I don't know what Priyanka was thinking. I mean, honestly, there's not really that much else to talk about because I feel like this challenge, it's probably not my favorite as a whole, just because I felt like, well, one, it was another improv challenge, but also I just like it was kind of hard to watch, I guess. I know they're going from each of the sort of elements of the pageant, like through that. The performance one, the talent portion was really the one that I remember the most. Like, I don't remember the bathing suit one at all. And then the only thing I really remember from the questions was Rita, which who we'll talk about next, or not Rita, Jimbo deep throating the microphone, which speaking of Jimbo here, Amon, I mean, wow. Jimbo was the town bicycle misbehaving, I believe was her name.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she really went full force with this character. I mean, there was never a beat that she didn't miss. There was never something that she could suck on that she didn't miss. I mean, I think she really, really, really wanted the win this time around. So she was fully committed. But I mean, I kind of agree with what you were saying earlier. I mean, I enjoyed this challenge for the most part because, I mean, as much as I'm not good at improv, I like watching other people do it. But I mean, I do think that, you sort of get a little fatigued throughout the middle because it's just, there's just like so much, like there's so much content from these queens, just so much like improv and references that you have to like catch on to over and over again that you sort of just like, it just becomes like a big blur of like, okay, so what character are you supposed to be? Like, what does your sash say again? Like, oh, so you're misbehaving. Okay, I get it. I'm sure. Like, but yeah, I mean, I feel like Jimbo was really like holding on to that slut character. So that was enjoyable for me.
Yeah, SP, I was going to say, maybe this challenge is too smart for me because I had to like try to remember who everybody was and like going through all of them. But Jimbo's was very easy to understand.
Jimbo's was probably the best as far as the pageant went for me. And I do agree that with this, the challenge itself wasn't my favorite only because they kind of forced them into these characters. I feel like we would have had such a bigger variety if they were like, okay, we're doing a pageant. This is an improv challenge. So you want to be funny, but you don't have a character. Mm-hmm. And then I think we lost the swimsuit portion because everybody wore the same thing.
Yeah.
At a regular pageant, when you have a swimsuit portion, you bring your own swimsuit and you wear it. And I think that that just means it. Mm-hmm. There, but it just what?
Yeah.
Jimbo, yeah.
It's comedy gold. Like, I don't think Jimbo can do any wrong with comedy. I have not seen Jimbo have like a joke that just doesn't land. It seems like a joke lands. And that makes just the type of person he is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think it was challenging a little bit for me to hear the one note critiques of some of the other queens where Jimbo's was one note. However, that one note was really funny. Right. Because look, the sexual characters are a little bit easier to do, but I think Jimbo pushing it in the way that she did, it was never what I expected, but also at the same time, I knew what she was going for and what she was trying to do. And so, I appreciated it. I thought it was funny. She obviously doesn't end up winning here, probably in part because her runway look is just so terrible, which we'll get to. But definitely Jimbo seemed to be one of the judges' favorites, for her performance in this challenge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our next queen that we are going to talk about is Alona, who was Miss Errable, which it's a mouthful for me for some reason. Miserable, Miss Errable. SV, what did you think of Alona here?
I really want to like Alona. I just think that she expired last episode. No shade, no tea. And I feel like this episode, it was kind of like, okay. I was a person who strongly believed that Boa should have been here. Mm-hmm. But and this performance kind of just reinforced my thought that, okay, maybe Boa should have stayed because I get what she was going for,
mm-hmm.
but it just did not translate in that performance. It was very completely one note. And I think that as far as being miserable, it seemed more angry than miserable. It wasn't sad. Right. It was mad. And when I think miserable, I think kind of just like mopey, very sad. And instead of using those levels and going from sad to mad, it was just like, oh, I'm just mad at everything.
Yeah. So for me, when she described the character, I was like, I know exactly who you're talking about. Like, I know that girl. And it just, when she did the actual performance, it didn't come across that way. Cause like you said, it should have been more mopey of like, whatever, I'm over it. Or even if you're going to do angry, I felt like Benda LaCreme's goth girl character in that like girl group, not to reference All Stars 3, apparently like a million times this podcast, but that to me felt more like if you're going to do angry, like that was at least funny with the over the top sort of expressions and things like that. Because Amon, this to me, what was one note and was just uncomfortable.
Yeah, like I understood what she was trying to do. I loved it whenever she did, you know, the painting thing for her talent, and then she painted the eggplant, and she was like, "Oh, it's not good enough for you? Okay, I'll get naked. Fine." Like I thought that was really funny, but yeah, there was something about the delivery of it that was just off-putting, and like that, and that's such an uncomfortable spot to be in, because like I know exactly what you're trying to do, but you're not landing it. And I don't know if it's the character for her, maybe because she got like one of the more negative ones. I mean, all of them are like quote-unquote negative, but like hers is literally you have to be sad, you have to be a negative bitch. And I wonder if that played into the negative critiques after all, because some of them were like had the freedom to be a little bit more, to have like some levity to the performance, but there was none of that for her. And I kind of feel like she was trapped into performing that way, because what else is she supposed to do? She's supposed to be a miserable bitch the whole time. So, yeah, it was tricky. It was really tricky for her.
I think in this moment, especially for the talent, as soon as I heard the character and then I was like, okay, talent portion, I would have loved to see like spoken word, just a poem about how miserable in life you are. And I think that could have translated much better than her painting. And then she could have led her straight into the part where she stripped off all of her clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it was a lot of good thought, but poor execution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a super shady moment from the editors when Alona is stripped down. She's like painting herself and she says in the talking head confessional, this is exactly the reaction I wanted from the audience. Cut back to the audience and it's like crickets, super awkward. So I was like, I don't know if that's actually the reaction you're going for. The editors are just shading you. Because you could tell. And of course, they're going to show more audience shots, but like that they were just not having this performance. But I'm happy, Amon, that you appreciated it.
Yeah, I mean, I got it. It's just like, it's kind of like, it kind of reminded me of LaGanja back in season 6 for the comedy routine. And she's walking out, LaGanja in the house, ew! And like all these people in the audience are just like, just like, it was like, that was funny to me. I got what you were going for, but like, it's just not like to mass appeal, like there is none.
Yeah, that's when LaGanja has that line about like, something's as dry as your vagina or something like that. Like that line was funny. So like that to me, I think was more funny than this, but at the same time, like I appreciated that Alona went all out, you know, and she's somebody who I'm happy that we got to see on the show being First Nations, being Two-Spirit, like non-binary. I thought that was really cool that she could come in and show her stuff, but there was more work that I think could have been done here to make this character a little bit, well, funnier, to say the least. Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back. All right, let's talk about Scarlett Bobo. Now, SB, she was misinformed, which I assumed that this was a play on the girl from the Miss America pageant who was like, and the Iraq, like that line. But I thought her interpretation was pretty funny.
I think the interpretation was funny. It's not what I originally thought, because mm-hmm. I was thinking to myself, you know, misinformed, that person who's not the brightest. And once again, doesn't have the right information. But I kind of like what she played up. And I think she did very well, pretty much executing everything. I didn't really get misinformed from her, but it was still funny to watch. Everything she gave to me was funny. I don't think she really had too many low points in her performance throughout the pageant.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm trying to think of moments where she like demonstrated the misinformed part of it. I think like the bongos was one, right? Because instead of like, but then she did play the bongos, but she did the like glass ring sound, which is also like a Miss Congeniality reference, which I thought was funny. But Amon, what do you think of Scarlett here?
I mean, yeah, she was okay. I mean, I feel like it was kind of like difficult to understand her for me. Like, there was a lot of just like high pitched, fast, like quick talk, and I'm just like, wait, what? Like, so I mean, I was misinformed. So, I guess that's the point.
I couldn't understand it, so I was misinformed.
Like, I couldn't tell if it was good or bad because I didn't know what was going on. So I guess in that respect, she did well, I guess. I mean, there were definitely moments in other people's performances where I was like, okay, you're probably going to be in the bottom. But for her, she was kind of middling. So I was just like, okay, fine, sure.
Like, always safe, Scarlett Bobo. Well, Esme, what did you say you would have done? Like, what do you think you would have done for this?
In this moment, I think I would have just been wrong about, like, everything. A talent portion, I probably would have done some random type of, like, I imagine in my brain, quick math. That's something that popped up in my head. And I would have just had, like, a board with a whole bunch of equations. And I would have purposely got every one of them wrong. And then just turn around and be like, I'm so smart. And just be very confident in it. Because I think misinformed is a very confident person who thinks that they're right when they're just completely wrong. So I think that's what I would have given in that moment. I do think she gave something. It just wasn't that.
Right. Like, I was when I could understand her, I was entertained by it. And I really did enjoy her talent portion of the competition. But yes, I think this was probably, maybe hers and Rita's were the furthest removed from what I thought the characters were going to be, just based on the description. Because yeah, I think that would have been funnier. Like, I'm trying to remember what her answer was for the interview portion, because I think that would have been like the prime opportunity to say something completely misinformed and completely wrong, which maybe she did. We'll get some tweets about it later correcting me, but I don't remember off the top of my head. All right. Any other thoughts about Scarlett before we move on to our final queen here, Lemon, who is the eventual winner of the challenge?
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm ready for Lemon.
All right, let's get our Lemon on. So Lemon was Misfits, which again, this name doesn't exactly fit, I think, what the description was, because the description was like child performer kind of ish. I think. But Aman, what did you think about Lemon?
I wanted more. So when I took a theater class throughout high school and in college, and we always had like a pantomime unit, and I was like taking that shit so seriously, because I was like, I think miming is like, so people don't realize like how difficult that shit actually is. And I just wanted more. There was hardly like, there was no boxing. There was no, like, there was just like none of that. It was like, oh, let me pretend to pull one of the judges, which wasn't even that convincing. Like, I just wanted more from her. So, I mean, fine. I mean, she looked lovely, because Lemon always looks lovely, but I was just like, this, but I think that you're right, like the name is this, I mean, they just took like a bunch of like words with the prefix miss in it and then chose things at random. And I feel like misfit is a hard thing to live up to, because if you're supposed to be a child performer, like, I guess you're supposed to be like this bratty bitch that gets everything that she wants. And I wasn't really getting that either. It was just, it was a strange way to go for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, SV, what did you what did you like? Was this enough miming for you from Lemon, or were you wanting more?
So as someone who has also, I have a bachelor in theater. Mm-hmm. So I went to school for theater. I'm trained in theater. I think the miming was a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't all the way there. It seemed second guess. As I watched it, it very much so seemed like she picked it at the last moment and decided this is what I'm going to do. And she wasn't fully committed. So I think kind of really diving into it and fully immersing herself into that would have been better. I think her character name kind of didn't make sense, but that wasn't her fault.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think she did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did pretty well. I think her talent overall was the funniest for me, just because I never would have thought of doing pantomime. And so the fact that she came out and did it, even though it wasn't up to the standard that Aman was looking for. But
I just wouldn't, it was so fast. Like, yes, I'm glad. She's lucky that the female judge at the panel, she's lucky that she was, like in it with her, like getting pulled, because if she didn't do that with her, that would look real dumb.
Yeah, right. I think that the part that I really liked too was when she was leaving, like running into stuff and like not being able to open the door. And I think all of those little things probably added to it. Maybe there was some more box work that she was doing that we just didn't get to see. But
Hers
hers at least seemed to be, in terms of a well fleshed out, thought out character. Like Lemon had an idea of what she wanted to do, Espy, and she then just had to execute.
Mm-hmm. I think that is the case. Out of all of the performers, I think Lemon is a very, very close second, because I'm very partial to Jimbo and Jimbo's performance. But I do think she had a plan and it was executed. And it was good. I can't even say it was bad. It was good. I didn't have any low moments with her and her performances. It was just, I wish there was a little bit more to push the envelope further.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think that was probably would have been the case maybe for all of them. I guess except for maybe Jimbo, who like really took it to the extreme. But yeah, I don't know. This challenge left me wanting more. Maybe I like wanted them to interact with each other or something, because they didn't really do that all that much.
It was definitely edited really fast. Like they were like, really quick. So,
okay. Yeah, maybe that was the case, that actually when you watched it in person, it didn't seem so fast. But we can talk. What did you guys think about the judges? So Michelle Dewberry, who is there, Dewberry, I believe is how you say her name, which I need to learn. My drag icons, oldest working drag queen. We got to hear so much about her in the mirror moments later. I thought that was so great, Amon, that they brought her to come in and do the judging.
Yeah, she was funny. She was a delight. Like, I just loved, I mean, you could tell that she was happy to be there, even with like all of like the irreverent energy that she was giving off. It was great to see. I mean, because I'm not that well versed in a lot of drag culture and icons, so I didn't know who she was either, but it was great to see her. And I love the fact that she stole the crown at the end. I'm like, yes, of course, get your fucking coins, sis.
Yes, go ahead.
I really like Michelle Dewberry, and I think the greatest moment of this is one of my drag friends actually did her makeup for that episode. So
really?
To know that, yeah, my friend posted it before the episode came out, and to know that my friend did it, I was really invested in seeing her, and she looks great, of course. And I just, I don't feel bad. Even as a drag queen, I did not know who Michelle Dewberry was before this episode, but as I did my research and saw how long she's been doing drag, it kind of was an eye opener to me. And I'm like, okay, I don't know who you are, but I have so much respect for you to do drag this long, especially considering drag just became acceptable within the past decade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear these stories from time to time on Drag Race, but to have someone like her come in and then to dedicate so much time, not only in the pageant, but then afterwards with some of the mirror talk, to really learning about her experiences, and for Rita to comment on that, to be like, look, we need to be thankful for what these other queens have gone through, that they truly are the trailblazers. Like, it's not us. We get to be on this TV show, you know, whereas like all the shit I'm sure that she had to deal with being a drag performer. I mean, like that's intense.
Yeah, definitely.
We also saw Tracy Melcore, who we still don't know if she's famous, right? Like, she's the squirrel friend, Canada's squirrel friend. Like, who is she? Whose friend of production is she? Because she showed up again to judge this pageant.
I'm just like, Canada is a whole different world up there, because so many of these guest judges, I'm like, who? Like, and I feel so bad, because like I'm like, oh, here I'm with my Yankee American ass, like not paying attention to anybody else that's not in this country. But it's just like, I would just expect to like know a lot more of these people, and I just don't. And it's making me feel like I'm not in on the joke. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Okay. She is famous. She's a Canadian television personality. She works for CTV's entertainment magazine series eTalk, at least according to Wikipedia.
All right. Well, all right then.
And we also got Stefan Brogan, who is from Degrassi, which, of course, was a good shout to have a Degrassi reference.
Now that one I did know. I did know that one. Everybody knows Degrassi.
I'm looking. I was trying to see if there was anything that could, like, attach me to her, because I didn't know who she was. She was in an episode of Lizzie McGuire, and I was just digging, because I've seen pretty much everything Lizzie McGuire, and I couldn't even pull her from there. But, you know, it was good to have her. She seemed like the most involved judge, to say that I think she was like the least known judge. It could have been a moment of her compensating, or it could have just been her as a person. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought they were fun. They definitely were game. And that's really all you're looking for, I feel like, when you are going to have someone as a guest on Drag Race. You just want them to be game for whatever nonsense is going to be thrown their way. And they definitely were willing participants in that. All right, let's talk runway. So Ali X is our guest host, which I had known a few of her songs, but the queens were really very excited about her. So maybe she is a bigger deal in Canada, but it was nice having her there to do our guest hosting. And the theme on the runway was pageant, of course. So let's talk first about Miss Alona Verley, who comes out in this purple floor length gown, just totally covered, at least the top half of her, in jewels. SB, what did you think about Alona's look this week?
I think the look was good, but it wasn't great. Kind of like when the judges said they wish that the stone part was everywhere. When I think about pageant gowns, I don't think kind of like an in-between. And this seems like it's partially stoned. And I never think partially stoned. You either go with something that's very sleek and not stoned at all, or you go with something that is literally stoned down. Like so many stones that you have to practice walking because it's dragging you down. So I think that if the she could have had the bottom part kind of as like a layer of the gown, but then taken the top part from the complete top and just draped it all the way down, and it would have looked so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aman, what do you think? Not enough stones, too many stones?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really consider the stoning that much until Esty brought it up. And now that I'm looking at it again, yeah, I totally get that. Like, I feel like it is a bit disjointed because she's dripping at the top, right? Like, she has her arms out, like the stones are just, they're dripping. And then it does feel a little up towards the bottom. It's like, okay, different dress. But I mean, I like the look. It was one of my favorites of the night, especially with the hair and the makeup. Like, I just love that shade. What is that, lilac? I just love that color. It's just really, really just stunning to me. I think she looks really beautiful. And, you know, Alona, she tends to, you know, have a few looks that are kind of messy, you know, and this is sort of a different change of pace for her. So I enjoyed that this time around.
Yeah, I like that she sticks with the pastel aesthetic. I think that just looks so good on her, and she can really embody that. But I co-sign the comment about the stoning. Like, it just feels like, it almost doesn't even feel like a dress. It feels like a shirt and then a skirt with a mermaid cut on the bottom, which makes it feel a little disjointed. I understand that you lose her neck a little bit, but she's doing her best to have it like peek up as she walks the runway. I didn't mind the choker, the thick choker, but I think it would have been balanced out if she had then stoned the rest of the dress. So I think it was a little bit of a half measure, but she still looks fabulous. And like you said, on the makeup and the hair, I think look really great as well.
As I look at it, I think another thing that could possibly have helped her was if there was some sort of transition. So where the top ends, if she were to have like, say, a belt that is just like completely stoned down, she could have put that on to where it doesn't seem like you just lose the end of the top and it just kind of gets boring at the bottom. Where if she had a centerpiece, your eyes would be drawn to that and you can see the two separate sections as opposed to being just like this. Oh, this is so not okay. There's nothing else from here on down. And that's kind of what happened with her. But it looks amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very blunt end to like her just cuts off the dress. Lemon walks the runway next, doing her best toddlers and tiaras impression with this like big poofy yellow gown. Aman, too much honey boo boo, not enough honey boo boo.
I mean, I thought that it was smart that she sort of like continued her pageant look into the runway. Like, you know, she was supposed to be misfits, like this child star type deal. So I thought it was like kind of nice to bring that energy on to the runway. It was definitely a risk, you know, because the bottom half, I mean, she's in like, what are those shoes? Like, I mean, I feel like if you're on Drag Race, like, and not every drag look has to be in heels, right? But like, I feel like you have to play the game on Drag Race and they're always looking for like glamour from head to toe and they need for your shoes to be top notch. So I feel like it was definitely a risk for her to come on like in those small pumps, but I mean, I liked it. I thought that she looked good. I think that it was like a nice continuation of the maxi challenge, and she gave it her all. I mean, she definitely had the characterization all the way through.
Yeah, that's for sure. She really sold it with her movement. I would do so good in the interview portion. Esby, does this do it for you? Is this the definition of pageant that you want?
So it is not the definition of pageant that I was thinking, but I love constantly being like on the edge of my seat, because when she walked around the corner, I was like, okay, I didn't even think about this. And I firmly believe that if I didn't think about it, that means other people probably didn't think about it, which we saw. Nobody really gave what she gave. And that was her moment to be like, oh, I'm about to stand out. And you definitely want to stand out in situations like this. I think it was executed very, very great. Like, this is Honey Boo Boo Down. Mm-hmm. So I think that the execution of it and just the fact that she was like, okay, I can easily just go regular pageant, or I can just turn it up a bit. She gave me the more that I was looking for in the pageant on the runway.
I really did think that she, so I was like, oh, were they supposed to do their character also from the pageant when they did the runway? Because she just, they just went so well together. Because the look itself, I mean, is not particularly anything to write home about. However, it does fit with what she's going for, and the physicality on top of it, I mean, really just sells it. I think it's probably one of the reasons why she did win the challenge, of course, for the actual pageant, but then because she stood out, she was doing something different. And so she really kind of had both of those things on lock.
It was really cohesive. Like, she really brought it all together.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. Now, Rita Baga is the next queen to walk the runway. And when she came out, Brooklyn Heights audibly gasped, Amon, in this gown. This was stunning.
I mean, Rita is like one of the oldest girls in the competition. And she came out to remind the bitches that I'm Rita Baga. Okay. Yes. Yes. For a split second, I was like, wait a second, is that Brooklyn for a second? Because, you know, they kind of look a little similar here. And that's probably why Brooklyn was like, oh, I'm looking in the mirror. Like, it just looked so good. Like, it's just so sumptuous. This is like one of my favorite, what do you call it, kinds of gowns. Like the bodice of this gown, like, it's one of my favorite things to look at on women in drag queens. It's just so sensual, so sexy. Like the arm length gloves just really tie it all together. It's just, yeah, like, it's like if you're in a pageant, like, this is the kind of shit that I want to see. I want to see you. I want to see woman, and she's giving you woman in this.
Yeah, SB, this is the floor length mermaid cut tight gown.
Mermaid cut, yes.
That is just, I mean, amazing.
When I look at this gown, I've been to so many different pageants, and this is a gown that I can easily see people wearing, like, with any doubt about it. I feel like if any pageant queen were to see this gown, they'd be like, okay, I need to wear this. And I think overall, it was almost perfect. And then you got to the hair, but I think the hair was kind of something for everybody. It's very much so giving Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, it is.
But I would have rather like a Marilyn Monroe type of moment, or a finger wave moment that's like very tight, very small, still small, like she's giving, because the gown is so big that I don't think she needs really big hair. I just think that if the hair was just something a little bit different, this look would have been, what do they call it? A shoot. Instead of a toot.
Yes.
I think the Jamie Lee Curtis look is spot on. This is definitely Activia commercial worthy. I was also getting a little bit of oh my gosh, Blair St. Clair from last season. She also had that, like, in the I think it was the, I guess, penultimate episode it would have been. Very similar look, but the judges really didn't like that either. But Jimbo, I want to say clocks, but, like, what's three or five levels above clock? Like, Jimbo beats down that wig line, Amon. It just tears her to shreds. Like, not to jump too far ahead, but when Rita gives her mild critique of Jimbo, and Jimbo is like, yeah, but that hair is garbage.
I was like, there is something, like, they are hiding things from us, because where did this come from? It was incessant. Like, it was like, oh my God. Like, it was like not one kind word came out of her mouth. And it was like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure Rita probably can be a little condescending. I definitely get that energy from her from time to time. But like, damn, like, she just came for the hair. I mean, I take both of your points though, SB and Jimbo. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, there could be something a little better. There could be something a little better. But I feel like it works for me. It's doing something for me. I like it.
I think the Jimbo quote that just, I even wrote it down. This is how much it kind of stuck with me. It says, you look like a grandma just dunked her head in the toilet. And after Jimbo said that, I had to rewind to the runway and I was like, wait, let me watch this again. And that's kind of very much so what it's giving. It looks like very air dried hair, like she wet the hair, slicked it back, and then just let it dry and the flyaways went everywhere. But it's not bad. It's just, it's not great. It's not amazing.
Right, to make it, to really like push it over the edge, like you would say that you think it needs a different hair. Yeah, that's fair. I could see that. Priyanka walks the runway next, and she is looking really gorgeous here, SB. I mean, this blue color is fantastic on her. Floor length gown with a slit up the side. I think the paint's not my favorite, but the gown is really stunning.
I literally have nothing negative to say about this. I don't think there is a critique that I can give this. Granted, it might be because I'm a Priyanka stan and I love Priyanka so much, but this is also kind of a moment where I know that the pageant queens that I hang around would see this dress and say, yes, I want to wear it. The hair I see sold in the drag pageant groups on a weekly basis. I'm pretty sure she probably was in one of those groups and was like, oh, this seems very pageant. Let me buy this. And I think this is like pageant down to a T. The mug could have been different, but it's your typical Priyanka mug, which is why I kind of gave that like, I'll let that pass. But everything here is just great. And the way she sold it was great. Ugh, I love her. Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
Eleganza mm-hmm. here, Aman. It's just very royal.
I mean, she definitely is, you know, paying homage to her roots, which I love. I think the dress is absolutely stunning. So my at my house in Pittsburgh, my mom has like a bunch of photo albums from her childhood, and she went to prom in a dress similar to like this color, and the makeup was also similar. She had like this heavy ass blue eyeshadow, and she just always talks about how like that's one of her biggest regrets because that shit looks ugly now. And so I just grew up from 8 years old, I've just like grown up with like the mindset that blue eyeshadow is ugly. So that's like where my mind went when I first saw it. I mean, I'm trying to like look past that 8 year old bias, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if like she should have had that specific color, but in terms of everything else, like the look is, it's stunning. It's stunning. Maybe the earrings, maybe I could do without the earrings. Maybe if I'm like being nitpicky. But yeah, the dress alone and the hair alone, absolutely gorgeous. I just love the way that it just like blends with her skin. Like it just looks so good. It looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is why I love talking to people. I had no critiques. And then you pointed out the earrings and it instantly popped in my head of if the earrings were like a beautiful blue AB stone that matches mm-hmm. the blue on the dress, it really could have tied everything in a little bit better. It could have tied it all together a little bit better. So that was a perspective that I didn't think about. But as soon as you said it, I was like, wait,
mm-hmm.
that could be changed. So yeah, I agree with that.
We're looking at the video now. Again, the video version of the podcast on the YouTube channel of Rama's Podcast. I think there's blue in the earrings, but it doesn't stand out in the way that you would want it to. I mean,
it's like really iridescent. It's like too much color in there.
Right. Yeah. And because it seems like because the stones look smaller, like you can't really tell. And mm-hmm. so I think that could have been something different. I just still can't get over Aman, like your mom with her blue garage doors, like going to prom.
Literally, that's what it was. She's like, so from like a very young age, I was just like, blue eyeshadow. It's ugly. It's fugly.
Blue was my color for quite some time.
Aww.
But no, listen. All of my drag sisters were like, Esty, you've got to stop. You have got to stop. And at first I was like, y'all are delusional. This is very beautiful. And I think that this is great. And then when I stopped doing it and I look back at the pictures, I'm like, okay, y'all weren't lying. So blue is not the best. Even though I still do it a little bit sometimes because it is still kind of cute-ish.
Maybe there's some truth to that. I went to my first football game here. I work at Yale. I went to my first game and I was like, oh, I'm going to do blue eyeshadow. No. I like remember like myself in the mirror. I was like, what did I just do to my face? Because I had like done the rest of my face. And I was like, I'll do blue. Oh, what a great idea. Never again. Never again. Although it does look gorgeous on Priyanka, but still. Everyone else, be wary. And speaking of outfits that we might need to be wary of, Amon, Jimbo comes out in, I don't even know how I would describe this, like a really ugly Barbie doll dress, maybe. And she looks like she has sparkle cum on her face. Like, I really genuinely, I can't with this.
Sparkle cum. I mean, it's very Cindy Lou Who hooker Barbie princess. It's furry, it's voluptuous, but also lacks form. It looks like it needs to deflate. The hair is hair. There's stuff dripping off her cheeks. The boa around her sleeves and neck is there.
Okay, SB, help us out here. Like, I think Amon and I are struggling with this.
So, what popped into my head when I watched this, I thought about Anastasia Anokwe saying, I am a designer, I make everything I wear, and it fits to a T. And I think Jimbo said, you know what, I'm going to one-up her. I'm going to design what I'm wearing, and I'm going to make sure it doesn't fit at all. And this, I'm also kind of in that area of edit, maybe, but I don't even think there's any way that she could edit all the accessories to even make this look good. And it was a lot. I feel like this could have been done in sort of a way where it looks like she was trying to give a Cinderella type moment, a big ball gown. But she just said, you know what? I'm not going to spend the money on it. I'm just going to make it. I'm going to DIY it. And it's going to come out looking amazing when it doesn't.
I think it was like, yeah, it was like, I want to do a hoop skirt. All the way to the floor. Nah, let's just like stop at the knees because it looks like a freaking tea cozy.
Honestly, it does.
Yeah,
it's just like no form. Like, just looking at her walk down the runway, everything looks so frumpy and just like lumpy, and it's just not. If there were like a corset at the top that was like a little bit more tight fitting, I feel like it would cinch it more, but no.
Like, she wrapped herself in boa. Like, the critique that she got on the runway about, oh, this looks like a design challenge, it's very much that. Like, it looked like the feather boas were the material that she had to design with, SB, because
what was this situation? Did she talk about it on the one? Because I can't remember if she talked about, is she crying? Like, it's like, did she lose, like, prom queen or something? Like, I don't get it. What's the story here?
Let me see if I can zoom us. Oop, let me see. I'll try to get that for us. Let's keep chatting about SB. What did you think of, what can you explain the jewels, the crying jewels?
I think a lot of drag queens tend to think that more is more, which is true. More is more. And in most cases, it's kind of good. But I think you need to know when to draw that line. And I think that with her, she was just like, drag queens love jewels. Let me throw some jewels under my eye. And I don't think the one jewel was good enough. So she was just like, okay, I'm just going to throw the whole pack of jewels. And it just, it doesn't translate. And even thinking about her, if this was a design challenge, I don't think this would translate in a design challenge also. It's just
still ugly.
Wasn't there. It was. And she's the type of person that is typically able to get away with these ugly costumes because she's a funny person. So it's like, okay, the costume isn't the cutest, but the way you sold it was nice. But this was just so ugly that I don't think you could have sold it. You could have told me it was free and I probably wouldn't have wanted it either.
Yeah. All right. Whatever the material is made out of, too, just like also didn't look super great. So I
coming out of her ears. I didn't even see that.
Yeah. So I pulled up an image of what this looks like. So she has these jewels dripping out of her ears, like not even stuck to her earlobes to indicate that they are earrings. They're literally emerging from her ears. And then she also has jewels that are stuck to her right under her eyes, sort of where her like where she would cry from, right? So Aman, I think they were on that, where I don't know if she's trying to replicate tears, but like she's crying jewels, but she also has a weird ear infection where she's like also jewels from her ears as well.
So just like, go get checked out, sis. Something's wrong.
Yeah, you might want to hit the doctor.
I think she took dripping in jewels to an entire different level. And I just wish that she could just like reset the whole game and go back to the first level and kind of think about it a little bit more.
It's just, so again, like trying to remember, the category was pageant, right? Like, in what way is this a pageant look? Even if you're just like, because I was like, okay, so she's not going for a general sort of stereotypical look for a pageant. But then what is this interpretation of it? Because at least Lemon had an interpretation that we are semi-familiar with, right? The child pageant world. This was, I don't even know. All right. One more queen to talk about on the runway, and that is Scarlett Bobo, SB. This also must have been a pageant gown that you could have seen your friends talk about, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I think that this was like my favorite look of the night. I did like Rita Baggus, but the hair kind of lost it for me. And this was just like everything, down to makeup, down to the ruffle on the side, down to the faux fur that she's wrapping herself in. It just looks expensive. And at pageants, you want to look expensive. And she is dripping in the right ways, not the Jimbo way, in those jewels that are applied to this dress. And the new, I can keep going on and on. This is 11 out of 10. This is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. As a whole look, I think this was my favorite of the night, just because she even described it as like a little bit of Kat Von D fantasy. It just was entirely put together. The whole thing looked gorgeous. And she, you can tell when she's walking the runway, she's like, Aman, I am the shit.
Yes, like you can see the Kat Von D in there. You can see a little, I'm getting a little like Morticia Adams as well. Like, I do have to say, like, I wasn't sure about the ruffle on the side. I wasn't sure about that, but the more and more that I look at it, the more I like it. I kind of wish that she had just like kept the faux fur on her shoulders. I feel like it just looked so good, just like as she was walking out, in the beginning. But yeah, she looks great. It's a toot. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a toot for me.
Yeah, the ruffles, now that you mentioned the ruffles on the side, now I think I like it less. I want to like unpin them because it's just like a separate piece that's like hanging off the side. I know that it goes with the other sheer fabric on the side of her dress. So again, this is the floor length gown, nude with the black sort of sash pattern that goes across. And she's got the gorgeous, hopefully faux fur, like we said. But yeah, that like weird ruffle thing that's like pinned to her right hip is a little distracting. But again, I think as a look, SB, this really 100% holds it together.
It does. I think with the ruffle, since that seems to be the center point, I like the idea that it takes away the same silhouette that you typically see, and it makes it asymmetrical. Yeah. And I think that's what really draws me to it, because I love asymmetrical things. I love asymmetrical hair. I love asymmetrical gowns. And adding that to it just changed up that typical pageant gown shape that you see and made it a little bit different.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I love like the black like jewels and sequins that like sort of like cascade down the dress, and she keeps the theme going with the hair as well, because you get that streak of white in there too. So it's just very, very, and the green pops out. You know what I mean? It's not like Priyanka's earrings, where I'm like, maybe you can take them off. Like, I feel like that just adds that little splash of color that it needs to just make it pop. So if she had like green contacts in, like, I feel like that would have been like, that would have just made it all like, just like elevated for me. If I'm being nitpicky.
I think green was the right color to go with as well for this look. I don't know why snake color, like it just fits. It just fits. I think she looks mm-hmm. fabulous. I think if she had done maybe a little bit better in the challenge, the maxi challenge, I think we could have seen her win here. But mm-hmm. Lemon is actually declared our winner. And let's see, Alona and Priyanka are in the bottom. And SB, kind of like what you were talking about earlier, where it was like the writing's on the wall for Alona. Like I had this feeling in the pit of my stomach that Alona was going this whole episode. So when she was in the bottom, I was like, I'm not surprised.
I can't even say I really wanted to root for Alona this time, because like I said, I thought she could have went home last episode. Mm-hmm. I just wish that going into this episode, she just had like a redemption moment, but I just think it was time for her to go, especially hearing that she was up against Priyanka. I followed Priyanka for quite some time, even before Drag Race Canada, and I know Priyanka can perform. So as soon as they said, okay, it's Priyanka and it's Alona, I was like, okay, it's over for you. I don't think there's anything you can do to save yourself, because Priyanka has that performance style and personality that just makes you look at her and only her. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what mm-hmm. happened in that lip sync.
Yeah. Well, so before we get to the lip sync real quick, Amon, is this the judging that you expected? The right people on the top, the right people on the bottom?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's kind of writing on the wall. I mean, we've had so many improv competitions, and that's like just not her forte. It's not Priyanka's forte either. So you sort of like saw that coming a mile away, which kind of sucks, because I feel like she was getting a little better. Because like I said at the beginning, I understood exactly what she was trying to go for. It's just like the execution of it that just wasn't landing. So it sort of sucks to see somebody improve through the competition, but like they're just not up to par with the rest of the people. And so, I mean, yeah, this is where the cookie crumbles for her. So,
yeah. So then to go to the lip sync, which as soon as Alona started doing the same thing she did last week with standing in place and like throwing her arms out to the side, I was like, no, girl, no.
This is not the song for that. I feel like ever since Kenya Michaels and Latrice Royale, there's always that one queen during a song that's like, okay, this is the song where I need to just give it to them. And I'm like, okay, this is not You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. This is Ali X, okay? You are allowed to be preposterous on this lip sync. Be funny, be bold, mm-hmm. be dramatic, you know? I know that you're in like this really expensive dress, but like I feel like she was really trying to sell us this bubblegum pop song, and it's like, girl, it's bubblegum pop. You doing?
Yeah, SB, this was the song was by Ali X. It was Hello. How did you think each of the queens did?
I think that this was a hard song to lip sync to, mm-hmm. only because of the outfits that they were wearing. It was definitely not I'm wearing a gown to perform type of moment, but I do believe that Priyanka really kind of was like, you know, I'm wearing a gown, but I'm gonna make you believe that this is a dance suit, and I'm going to twirl for you, and I'm going to go. And I think that Alona really tried to deliver that stand in one place section, but it just kind of fell one note, like her performance throughout the entire episode, where it was like, okay, I see what you're doing, but it's just not giving me any levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really one note. Poor Alona. Like, apparently she can only pick one thing and then go with that. I really felt that almost regardless of how the lip sync turned out, like she was going home. I think Priyanka mm-hmm. definitely outperformed Alona anyway, but I mean, the writing's been on the wall for poor Alona, I think, for a while. I think she just stands out a little bit from the rest of the queens that she's just not up to their level, at least a little bit. So
mm-hmm. I do think that I don't know if they're going to have any other seasons, but I feel like Alona would be perfect for an all-star season. I feel like her leaving the show, she is going to turn that up all the way. Not even just a notch. She's going to watch back and turn it up all the way. And if there's ever an all-star season, I think she's going to be like the force to be reckoned with. She wasn't necessarily a fan favorite, but she was someone who had potential, Mm-hmm. I think getting eliminated from the show is what's going to unlock that potential.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. She was someone who I really liked for some reason. I'm still not entirely sure why, but that's a great point. That once I think she can get some of the criticisms, really understand what it is that she needs to focus on. I think she's got so much charisma and has a lot of talent. She just doesn't really know what to do with it and like how to direct it in the right way to understand those levels, to just be a little bit more well-rounded, I think, as a performer and as a drag queen. She'll definitely grow from this. And I'm pretty sure she's really young too. And so I think that she's got a long career ahead of her, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We are at our top five queens. I am still shocked that we are here, but next week we're going to be getting the classic makeover challenge. Espy, I gotta know, if you ever had to do the makeover challenge, what are the biggest hurdles? What are the things that you gotta do to get these newbies in shape?
So for me, I have, not even mastered, I have learned how to do my own makeup, but only my own makeup. My mom, she came to LA, this was last year, and she was like, do me in drag makeup. And I was just so excited. I'm like, ooh, girl, you look so good. And you know how you step back to see the whole thing? And you're like, I'm ready to see my masterpiece. I stepped back, and then I instantly stepped back forward and was like, girl, go wash your face, because I don't know what I just did to you. So I think that would be like the hardest part of that for me. But the makeover challenge is always that challenge that kind of separates the cream of the crop from the girls who just kind of straggled their way to the final five or final six.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aman, who do you think is going to do well? Because I think you're looking for a queen who's put other queens in drag, and Rita has like a whole family of queens underneath her. I feel like she's someone who'll be able to whip someone else in shape and like get that makeup done, have them walk the runway. The person I think is going to win is going to be Rita here.
I would agree. I feel like, yeah, she probably has the most experience with this sort of thing. I kind of want to say Priyanka as well, but that blue eyeshadow was kind of taking me out, so I don't know. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Rita.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that does it for us today. SB, thank you so much for coming on and giving us all of your insight. This has been really valuable.
Well, thank you for having me. Like I said, it always feels good to talk with people about my love for Drag Race that aren't my friends who hang up in my face as soon as I bring it up.
Oh, no. Well, you always have a place to talk with us. Do you have anything else you want to share about thoughts for this season or just in general?
I am definitely rooting for a Priyanka win. It's looking, I hope she doesn't land in the bottom anymore, because if she does, it's looking very slim. But, you know, I'm going to hold out hope. And if not Priyanka, I'm definitely okay with anybody else, but I'm leaning towards Jimbo. I think those are two of the, like, really good fits for winners for me, but I think everyone left this great. This is a good palate cleanser from the US version of Drag Race, which has become, no shade, no tea, so commercialized to the point that it's just kind of like, oh, who can buy the most expensive outfit and go? Whereas this is literally like, okay, we're starting from scratch all over again. So I'm excited to see the turnout.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to stop back and talk about Jimbo for a second, because we discussed it a little bit with Rita when we were talking about Rita's hair, but what was Jimbo in that untucked moment? Like, I was shocked because we haven't seen this sort of side of Jimbo, I guess, and that could be due to the editing, like Aman mentioned, but SB, this felt very out of character.
It did. I don't know if this was like, because it seemed like everybody had some type of beef with everybody. Like, everybody was just beefing with each other. And in that moment, I don't know if she was just, that energy was redirected because she was mad at what the judges had to say. But she went in on Rita, and all I could do was sit back and be like, oh. I mean, the library is, I guess, always open, and reading is fundamental, but she slammed into her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That was like $1,000 audiobook level reading. Like that was just going she after just,
like,
her
she
mind.
Had like it, she would like she was waiting. It seemed like she was waiting to say something to her. And she got it all out. She got it out.
And even as someone who is, I am always reading people. Like me and my friends, that's what we do. If I was Rita in that moment, I literally would not have been able to do anything but sit there and sip my drink because I'm like, yeah, you kind of ended me. And sometimes you have to accept defeat because she got her together.
Is this real life? Is this actually out? Like, is Jimbo the clown like really coming at me right now?
I always thought that, like, the thing was Canadians are nice people. And then this season of Drag Race has shown me that that's, it might be true for some, but these drag queens this season were definitely like, oh no. Like you said, it wasn't passive aggressive. They've just been aggressive this whole season.
Straight to the point. Straight to the point.
I love it. Don't stop. This is golden.
All right. Well, hopefully we will get a golden rest of the season, whether it be more drama, standout challenge performances, or great runway looks. Before we conclude the show, I do want to take a moment to plug our charity of the week. So most of you probably know about the explosion that happened in Beirut last week, I believe. So actually, Adele, who was on Big Brother Canada, knows a number of people who were first line responders to the tragedy that happened in Lebanon. And so he is raising money. He started a GoFundMe, which all of the proceeds 100% go to people who are impacted. And I will include the link in the show notes. I don't have a good like short link, but it is Lebanon First Responders is the GoFundMe created by Adele. So we'll include that in the show notes. Anything that you can give it will be greatly appreciated to help those who really suffered so many tremendous losses in that explosion. Well, Espy, again, thank you so much for coming on with us today. Where can people find you on social media? Where can people follow you?
So on Instagram, I am Espy Simone. It's my first name and my last name. And Twitter is kind of different. It's just Charlesy.
So okay.
Charles with ZYY. I don't have a drag Twitter. I just have my regular Twitter. But yes, definitely go and follow me on Instagram and like all my photos. Because, I mean, what drag queen doesn't like likes on their photos? But this was
hitting that follow button right now.
Oh, period. Thank you. I'll turn my phone on and follow back.
But yeah, thank you so much. This was really great. Definitely follow Espy on Instagram or on Twitter. And Aman, what about you? What are you up to? Where can people find you?
You can find me at Aman Adwin on Twitter and on Instagram. It's Big Brother season, so I'm in that full swing. If you are a Gleek or you want to start getting into the show Glee, I have a podcast called The Choir Room with Matt Liguori. We're in the middle of covering season 5 right now, so get in on that as well.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I am talking, of course, about Big Brother. Mike Bloom and I are doing the RHAP B&B for both Big Brother and Survivor. Yes. So we are having a lot of fun. We just recorded the BB B&B with Maggie, who is from the class of 2020, which was also just a trip. It was a trip. So check that out. I guested on the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up podcast as well. So that you can find in your Wrap Up feed or in its own 90 Day feed. And I want to stop down to take a moment to plug the 1 year anniversary of the Purple Pants podcast. So Bryce Isaiah has now been podcasting for 1 year, talking about so many wonderful things, love after lockup, serious social issues as well. And his podcast is always just such a blast and so fun, as well as being able to touch on those important things that matter most. So go check out the Purple Pants podcast, which is like,
yes, go check out the one that comes out this week. because I'm actually on it this time.
So. Oh, girl. Yeah. So your favorite Amon will be there. Definitely look for that. And the Zaddy calendar also got released. So Bryce talks to Rob about all of the wonderful Zaddies that are featured in the calendar for this year. So that is everything for us. You can support what we do here on RHAP by becoming a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Check out patreon.com. Rob Has a Podcast to help us do all of these fantastic things. Also, you can leave your reviews and ratings on iTunes. And a huge shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.